Hey everybody, welcome back to Let's Talk About Death and Dying. This episode, we're going to talk about how do I live life without my loved one. So with this particular topic, I'm thinking about it in a way, it's kind of pre-planning, if you will. So your loved one has died, and afterwards there are some day-to-day things you might do, but as time goes on, you have to really consider the routine that you and your loved one had. If you live together, the day-to-day responsibilities, or if you were their caretaker, now you have to shift out of being the caretaker. So one thing I want to talk about or have us to consider is what's a good age to look at considering when you should be making some modifications. So for example, I think maybe 50 is a good age to start thinking about it, because 50 is a little bit different. I think when you're closer to it, you start thinking about the age differently. You know, when we were kids, it's like, oh, this age sounds so old, fill in the blank. But when you're getting a little closer to that fill in the blank age, you just start to think about life differently. So I think we can start thinking about the age approaching for our parent, not ourselves, but when our parents, for example, because it could be your parent, but it could be your aunt that you're close to, or your uncle that you're close to, or even our siblings. We have to really start thinking about our siblings differently too. But I'm, for the sake of this podcast, I'm going to focus the attention on our parents, because I think that's really the first persons that we tend to think about taken care of, and regarding death and dying, that's who we associate that with, is with our parents. So a good age to start thinking about living without your parent, thinking about what that's going to look like, thinking about the processes, the day-to-day, the relational things, I think 50 is a good age. Now, we want our parents to live good, long lives. But I think getting our minds conditioned to be without them is good preparation for the future. So let's say, for example, you're very, very close to your mother, and you and your mother, you do a lot of things together. You might travel together. You might call each other all the time. You might go to the house and take care of her home, or you all might live together and you like watching TV, or, you know, there are all these different things that you do with your mother. So when she dies, all of those things change. The way you do things in the home, that conversation on the phone is stopping. So maybe you call your mom when you get up in the morning. So that's not going to be happening. Paying bills, you know, maybe if you are the person who takes care of her bills, or maybe she takes care of your bills, that's going to change. So we have to start thinking about how we're going to live and what are we going to do and how is our day-to-day going to look. Now, depending upon maybe, let's say, your parents' health, for instance, maybe you have to start thinking about that age a little sooner, you know, because maybe you have a parent who is 50, approaching 50, but maybe they're not in the best health. Then maybe, you know, you start thinking about those things rapidly. But maybe you have a parent who's 50, vibrant, independent. They get along very well. And maybe it's just a preparation of a thought. But I think it's good for us to start preparing our minds and the things that we can do, so when that day comes, it's not so shocking. Another thing that we can do after we think about the age that is the best age for our parent, that we need to start thinking about being without them. After we do that, we need to survey our relationship with our parent. Whether you have a very dependent relationship, meaning that you depend on your parent heavily. You live with them. They paying all your bills. They watching your kids. They raising your kids. You can't make a move without asking your parent what do they think about certain things, dependent. Or maybe you are an independent, you know, person. You have a good relationship with your parent, but maybe you live outside of the home and you're taking care of yourself financially. You're taking care of children and things like that, but you still have a really good interaction with your parent. Or maybe you have a hard relationship with your parent. Maybe you guys don't see eye to eye. Maybe you don't talk as much. Maybe you live in a different state and you just don't get home as much anymore. Or maybe you have an estranged relationship. Something happened and you just don't talk. Or maybe you just never had a good relationship. Maybe you never had a good foundation. So wherever you fall in this categories, start surveying that. And if you can fix it or change it or modify it, start to do that while you have the opportunity. Because trying to heal while someone's in the grave is a lot of work. Trying to forgive someone who is dead because you're angry and you wanted to say all these things and you thought you had more time, that's a lot to deal with on top of just the regular grieving process. Being able to make peace, being able to say what's on your heart and heal properly, making the attempt while the person is still living, that is a great opportunity. Because once someone is dead, you don't have that opportunity and you can't get it back. And then that may go into the woulda, coulda, shoulda syndrome. And you're already going to be grieving and putting that on top of it. That's just too much. So if we can start surveying our relationships and figuring out where we fall and making adjustments. And I'm not saying that these are things that need to happen overnight, but you can just start having a real dialogue with yourself and or your loved one as well on where you fall and what changes you need to make. And if you are the parent listening, maybe you have children, if you are the parent, then you start making these surveys and observations. If you have very dependent children, and if you are the parent, then start finding ways to empower your children to be more independent. Start giving them that verbiage that you're not going to be on the earth forever. And when you are not here, it does your heart well that you want them to be able to take care of themselves. When you are no longer here, equip them with the skills to take care of themselves. As the parent, you know your child. You know their shortcomings. You know their strengths and their weaknesses. So if you see these things and you know that you are not equipped to take care of them like you used to because you're aging, have an honest conversation with them and say, you know, I'm not going to be here forever, and I'm very concerned with how you're going to be able to take care of yourself and preserve our family legacy. And start helping them make that transition. Start encouraging different things that you see they need help with. So if you have a child who doesn't know how to cook, then start helping them with that and start doing things with them to encourage. Maybe you might want to give them the phone number to different restaurants so they can order. It doesn't necessarily have to be pulling out the cookbook and pulling out the different things. It could be something else because everybody's skill level is different. So maybe they just need to have the number to Uber Eats and explain the process on how to order food through Uber Eats. Or maybe they need to know the process of how to do ship and have groceries sent to their home. However or whatever works best in your situation, start to foster those conversations. If they're is a situation where you're independent, you're really, really independent, and you know, you're the kid and your parent is very independent, maybe they don't call you as much. Start calling them and start expressing that you're concerned because they're aging and that you want to start a new tradition. Hey mom, I know that you're independent. I know that you're self-sufficient, but I'm concerned you're approaching a certain age, and I would just like to keep up with you a little bit more. I would like to know more about your health. I would like to know more about your day-to-day processes in your home. I would like to know what medications you're on, because I want to be able to advocate for you later on down the line. But if I don't have this information, or if I don't foster this conversation with you, it's going to be harder later. That's the type of conversation we need to start having with our loved ones. Early, not when they're old and not in their right mind, or unable to talk, or unable to sign documents. We don't want to wait that late. That's too late. If we have a hard or estranged relationship, we need to start early. Because it's hard and it's estranged. It's not an easy relationship, and it's really probably something we don't want to deal with anyway. I don't like you. You didn't raise me. You didn't love me. You didn't protect me. I don't care anything about you now that you're old. That's real. That can be a very real feeling. But you know what? If that parent does not have a spouse or any siblings as their child, you are responsible by law for your parent, whether it's estranged or hard. So there are some things that you have to start working through. Maybe your parent is addicted to drugs or alcohol or gambling or sex, or just addicted to making bad decisions. So you stay away. Okay, well, you got to start reeling yourself back in. You got to start trying to find your parent. You got to start trying to talk to your family members. You have to start early. If it's estranged or if it's hard. Because if you don't start early, and if you try to navigate all of this stuff after they're dead, that's a whole nother set of hurt, of frustration, of anger, rage, on top of grief. And I don't want that for you. I know it doesn't feel good. I know that they don't deserve it. I know that there are a whole range of emotions that I probably don't have any idea of how you're feeling. But what I'm saying is, we all are going to experience death. And there are certain things that have to be dealt with, and they have to be taken care of. While you are in the right state of mind, while you are able to think clearly, these are some of the things that you have to survey about your relationships. And if you have the opportunity, take it day by day. And if you don't, or if you're not able to take it day by day, take it by seconds or by minutes or by hours and come back to it. But let's start to address it. Let's start to think about it. Let's start to have a conversation out loud about it, because it's real and because it's going to happen. Another thing I would like for us to think about is what are some of the things you would do if you didn't have to consider your loved one's opinions? So if you are a child and you're very dependent, you know, it's you and your mom day by day, every day, all day, and your allegiance is to her, and there are just some things you put on the back burner because you know, that's your mom. You love your mom. But now mom is dead. And there are some things you may have always wanted to do, but you just felt that you couldn't. She wouldn't approve. She wouldn't understand. You felt bad. You wanted to be there for her. You wanted to take care of her. Pick those things back up. Recreate those things. I think for the dependent person on their loved one, it's hard to rediscover yourself because you have intertwined yourself so much in your loved one that you have forgotten who you are and what you like and what you want. Well, now that that person is gone, don't allow guilt to stop you from doing those things that maybe once upon a time you really wanted to do, but you just put it off. If you are still here, there is purpose in your life. There is somebody you're supposed to reach and help. There is something that you're supposed to fulfill in the earth. And yes, your loved one may have been a part of it, but you still have other things to do. So please don't allow the guilt of your loved one being gone to stop you from living your life. Maybe you said, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to be here for mom. Okay, well, mom is not here. Now you can go and be adventurous and find love or go back to school or learn how to drive or bake or whatever it is that you stop doing because of that dependent relationship. So rediscover yourself. Give yourself permission to live and be happy. It's okay to have a good day. Doesn't mean that you're forgetting about your loved one. It's okay to enjoy something that maybe you used to enjoy, but you put it on the shelf. It's okay to take it back off the shelf. It's okay. If you have the opportunity to ask your loved one these questions and to ask them what should be considered or how to do certain things or what do they think you should focus on once they're not here or what are their wishes or, you know, if you have those opportunities to talk and sit down with the older adult that's closest to you and you feel comfortable, then please take the opportunity. Or you guys can sit down together and listen to this podcast and have some discussion afterwards. That's really why I started doing this podcast, because maybe you can't find the words per se, but you can definitely sit down with your family and listen to the podcast and then have some family discussion. You can say, hey, let's all get together. I found this podcast, and it's hard for me to talk about death and dying, but there's this podcast that talks about all these wonderful topics. Let's listen to it as a family and let's have some conversation about it. It can stimulate things that you may have never knew that your loved one was even thinking about. Maybe you just didn't have any idea this is how they felt or this is what they thought pertaining to death and dying. And this podcast is stimulating that conversation. That's my prayer for all of the episodes, is for someone to start the family conversation and to have a plan and to not be blindsided after the death and just have all of these things coming at you and you don't know how to deal with it. That's why I wanted to do this. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that this is helping someone and it's blessing you and it's helping you to foster a conversation. I would love for you to leave me a voicemail message just to give me some feedback on what you thought about the episode. You can leave me a voicemail within the app. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your time. Until we meet again.